Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. Today it is November 24th, 2021, and we have college football playoff rankings to get to because there is some historical significance and also a lot of Big 12, present and future significance as well. We're also going to discuss James Franklin getting that big extension and what it could mean for Big 12 coaches like Dave Aranda and Matt Campbell. All that coming up on today's show.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, hello, everybody. Once again, Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. I hope everybody is enjoying their Thanksgiving week. Before we get into today's show, a couple notes here. First of all, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, at LOBig12. You can follow the show. Follow me personally, at JoshNeighbors_. You can find us Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, all of those places. Find the show. Check us out. We're going to have a Thanksgiving food draft coming up. That'll be released tomorrow. It's actually also from the Locked On Nationals page. I also host the Locked On Nationals podcast. Got a couple guys together. Thanksgiving food draft. It'll get you hungry on Thanksgiving mornings. That'll come as a bonus episode. But today, we're here to talk about the college football playoff rankings that were released last night. Without further ado, here they are. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Alabama. Number four, Cincinnati. Let's start right there. And we have to. The first thing that you'll notice, and before we even get to Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is going to be the big theme here, I'm wearing my Bearcat shirt. I've got it ready to go to celebrate. But first, the first thing we have to notice is that Ohio State is now up to number two. And that is because they have had a couple dominant performances consecutively. They blew out Purdue. They blew out Michigan State. Now, I mean, they could have scored darn near 100 points if they wanted to against Michigan State this past week. So we thought about this kind of come into the week, right? Alabama didn't really put – they had some distance between them and Arkansas, but they never put their foot on Arkansas's throat really and blew them out. And Arkansas is a good football team, but we've seen Alabama blow out good football teams. Really, the last time it felt like it was pedal to the metal all the way for Alabama against a Power 5 team was that win they had earlier in the year – against Mississippi State. And that is kind of where I think the last time people felt like they went full throttle. You look at some of these results, 42-35 over Arkansas, 20-14 over LSU. They beat Tennessee pretty badly, but the kind of pedal to the metal was that 49-9 win. I mean, a 40-point victory. You really can't argue with those kind of results. I know they had a 4-touchdown win against Tennessee, but it felt like the dominant Alabama collective that we're used to seeing. And look, that Tennessee game was, I think it was pretty close when they had in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Alabama scored 28 points in the fourth quarter to put that game away. So this is not surprising with the way Ohio State has been playing. And also it's important to note, like, it feels like Ohio State right now is the one team people feels like can touch Georgia because of how good their offense is. I'm not sure how valid that is, and I don't know, you know, the questions you have to ask is, like, what is the gap between Ohio State's offense and Georgia's defense? What is the gap between Georgia's offense and Alabama's defense? What is the gap between Ohio State's offense and Georgia's defense? What is the gap between Georgia's offense and Ohio State's defense? And that is kind of the question, because we feel like Georgia's offense is, you know, semi-questionable, but they've still been throttling teams now all season long. Ohio State, we think that they have some defensive deficiencies, but it felt like against Purdue and against Michigan State, those weren't really exposed. Now, Aiden O'Connell had a nice game, but it wasn't very impactful. Like, that game was over, mostly because the offense's performance and also the defense did chip in, gritting a couple of early turnovers in that game. So this, you know, this feels like they are 1-2 right now in terms of performance. In terms of results, they are in the right place. Obviously, the loss to Oregon, that cleared the path. But I think still, if Oregon got like a narrow win over Utah, while it'd be a great win, You see Ohio State absolutely pummel a team that is in your top 10 in Michigan State. I know the committee didn't have too high of an opinion of Michigan State, but there's no way that I feel like Ohio State still would have been behind them, at least would have jumped Alabama, it feels like, in that scenario. So they push Alabama back to 3. That feels like that is where they should be right now. And then we go to really the main attraction, the thing that we all really should be looking at here on today's show and across the country. It is historically significant. It is the first time that a group of five team has made their way into the top 4. The Cincinnati Bearcats are undefeated right now. They are 11-0. They are your number 4 team. There was much discussion about who would be the number 4 team. Would it be Michigan? Would it be Cincinnati? It's my personal opinion that you couldn't watch last week. You couldn't see Cincinnati go up, like, what was it, 42-0, whatever it was, and have somebody else leapfrog them, because we think SMU is a decent football team. And they went out and they stepped on their necks. They did what we asked them to do so many times before, but they did it in one of their more high-profile games. And on a week where Michigan State and Wake Forest and Oregon all lost, right, and all lost pretty bad. I mean, Wake got rolled. Michigan State wasn't close, and Oregon got their asses handed to them. On a week like that, they went out and said, hey, we're finding our form right now. We are not a pretender. We're not playing pretender football. You can't say if we're playing Power 5 teams right now that our performances, our results would not be good enough to merit these spots. They went out and put an ass whipping on SMU last week and got themselves the spot. And this is where we kind of have to have a conversation about, number one, it's impactful, it's important, it's huge for the Big 12 moving forward. You know, to see that a team that's coming their way is in the Final Four right now, even without being in the Big 12 conference. It just shows you how good of a program they are. They don't, you know, Cincinnati doesn't need the Big 12 to reach the college football playoff, hopefully. But to reach top 4 at least during the season, they don't need the Big 12. I think that's a good thing. I'm saying that as a good thing, right? I don't want conference dependence to be how this thing works. It just shows the job that Luke Fickell, this has been a multi-year thing. It's been a long build. You know, there have been bumps along the way. There have been narrow wins. There have been close losses, like that close loss they had to Georgia in a game that I think Luke Fickell really admitted that he mishandled, right? And so that's gotten them to this point now where they give themselves an opportunity to now prove themselves. But that being said, this does not mean that Cincinnati is going to be safe, right? There are a bunch of situations out there. I think people talk about the two-loss Alabama being one. I don't see that as a situation that's going to catch them. I don't think that's how it's going to work. But just because they're there does not mean, you know, they won't get leapfrogged. They could have two poor performances coming in. ECU's a decent team, and as is obviously Houston's a really good football team. We'll talk about them in a little bit. They've got both of those guys left on the schedule, so it's up to them now to perform to a high level in those games. But they could still find themselves move back, depending on how things go. Especially, I mean, you know, there is a scenario out there where there is a 13-0 Georgia, there is a 12-1 Alabama. Oh, excuse me, I'll redo this. There's a 12-1 Georgia, 12-1 Alabama, 12-1 Ohio State, 13-0 Cincinnati, 11-1 Notre Dame, 12-1 Big 12 champion. You know, there are some scenarios where Cincinnati could find themselves on the outside looking in. I would not be shocked, you know, if Cincinnati were to get bumped by Notre Dame, if they throttle Stanford and Cincinnati doesn't come into the gates looking that good. I could see that happening. I wouldn't have that personally, but I could definitely see that being a result. I think a situation where if Oklahoma State or Oklahoma looks really good, you know, if Oklahoma State handles their business against OU, and any kind of win against OU is going to merit good consideration for them. And then they take care of business against Baylor. I could see them stacking those two teams up and saying, well, they've got the one loss. Oklahoma, and I would really hate it if it came down to Cincinnati, Cincinnati versus Oklahoma State. I would really hate that. I would not want that to happen. But there are situations out there where things could break the wrong way. I want to hit this now before we take a break. But the dream scenario for Bob Bowlesby is there are a couple ones. Obviously, there's some where it's, you know, Alabama's going to lose, you know, Alabama loses to Auburn, right? And then loses an SEC championship game. That makes Bob Bowlesby really happy, right? Ohio State beats Michigan, but then loses to Wisconsin, right? That would be a dream scenario for Bob Bowlesby. And then Oklahoma State and Cincinnati, obviously continuing to persevere and play good football, would put them in positions to go as well. You know, have non-Oklahoma in position to make the playoff, and have Oklahoma State, a current member, a future member, continually going to be a future member in the playoff, and then also Cincinnati, a future member, right there in the college football playoff. If the things would break like that, yeah, obviously he'd be over the moon. I think the big time dream scenario that feels very likely is this. Bob Bowlesby is very much hoping for 13-0 Georgia, SEC champion, 12-1 Ohio State, Big Ten champion, 12-1 Oklahoma State, Big 12 champion, then 13-0 Cincinnati AAC champion, and 11-1 Notre Dame is right there, left out. Obviously, you know, Michigan with the second loss, left out. Bama with two losses, left out. Bob Bowlesby is hoping for Georgia, Ohio State, Cincy, Oklahoma State. That is the best possible look. That would be a sweet, sweet feeling. And also, you know, Oklahoma's got a tough road ahead of them. No matter what happens, win or lose this weekend, acquiring a Big 12 championship is going to be difficult. But it is within reach. They are two games away. Maybe their toughest two yet, but they are two games away. They are favorites right now. If they win this week, they'll be a favorite again. So they're in a situation where it's plausible. Cincinnati is going to be favored in both of the remaining games. While difficult, a trip to East Carolina, and I bet that environment's going to be one of the most rocking they've had. I think they're 7-4 this year, so it's been a pretty decent team that they've had. But, you know, and that's going to be a difficult challenge. And also Houston as well in the AAC championship game. All right, so these schools are going to have opportunities to do it, but Bob Bowlesby has to be sitting there licking his chops saying, it's possible, it's plausible. There is an opportunity right there for this to happen. That is the dream scenario for Bob Bowlesby. Yeah, just double-checking now. Cincinnati, 14-point favorites, 330 ABC Friday, ECU 7-4, 5-2 of the Americans. So been a decent ball club this year. All right, quick break, and then we'll talk about more from the college football playoff rankings. Today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Go to Prize Picks right now. Download the app. It's free to download, and it's available in most states. When you all do download it, make sure you guys use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On, upon your first deposit. When you all do that, you'll get a 100% deposit match up to $100. So that's a great deal they've got going on right now at Prize Picks. Over-unders for yardage, touchdowns, interceptions. You can bet on the action that's happening tonight. Whatever you want to bet on, they've got there at Prize Picks. Go check them out today and download the app. All right, so let's take one more look at these rankings, or we'll take a couple more looks at these rankings rather, but our next look, I should say, at these rankings, and check out how many Big 12 teams there are in the top 10. Let's not count Cincinnati. They are a future Big 12 team, so, you know, once again, fist pump on that. This is a show where we're giving Cincinnati as much credit as possible. 7, 8, and 10. OK State at 7. Baylor at 8. And Oklahoma at 10. The weird part of it is this. Baylor's ahead of OU right now because of the head-to-head. And also, Baylor's playing really good football. Impressive win with Blake Shapen at quarterback for most of the game against Kansas State. Defense doing the job as well. And they've got themselves at 8. But a two-loss Baylor feels unlikely. Even if they're 11-2, I still think they get left at the at the altar is the term that we use for weddings. But he might get, yeah, they might be left there, you know, outside of it. Still, though, this part hit me like a kind of a tidal wave last night when I saw this. Baylor's 8, and despite the fact that there might not be an opportunity for them to play in the college football playoff, them being right here is absolutely phenomenal. Nobody saw this coming this season. It speaks to Dave Aranda, the way he's had that team focused, but he's had that team dialed in from, you know, pillar to post. They got caught once against TCU, and I will admit that is a bad loss. That does not look good in the resume. But they rebounded so well the next week, and have rebounded so well in the, you know, the next week, the performance they put in against Oklahoma, you know, at home in that awesome environment, a dominant victory over OU, you know, and I know that was game was close at times, but they really, Oklahoma was never a threat, even a close game, because Oklahoma had changed quarterbacks. Things were going so badly in a one score game for them. Just shows you how much control Baylor had in that instance. So you're seeing them now reaping the rewards of good performances all season, of being well-coached. And I've said so many great things about Dave Aranda, but it just shows you once again the job he has done, the steadying hand, the personality. You know, people might say it's about the personality that he is not. I would say it's about the personality that he is. You know, he is a personality in his own way. You know, the way he is very dry. And soft-spoken is the wrong word. I would say sincere. It's a term that I've brought up many times before in the show. I would say Dave Aranda is sincere, and this team is much, exceeded expectations. I think it's because he's a guy who goes in there and they work every single day, and that's why a guy like Jeff Grimes is a Broyles finalist, right, for the job that he's done this season. So Baylor at 8, what an accomplishment, even though a college football playoff is unlikely for them. To be at 8, and never say never, right? I mean, you know, what if Ohio State wins and then Wisconsin beats Ohio State, and Baylor goes on to win the Big 12 championship? It's not out of the realm of possibility. If we're playing around with two lost teams, that is, you know, they'd have a ace in the hole as being a two lost team that's a champion. You know, in kind of these weird scenarios that we're discussing. All of the two lost teams, Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, right? Even in Oklahoma State, the only way that the Big 12 teams can be two lost teams, and Baylor and Oklahoma, they have to be two lost champions, right? Baylor, if they were to have two losses, would be a champion. Now, Oklahoma State, they could lose in the championship game, so correcting myself there. But, Baylor's got a chance to be a two loss Big 12 champion, so I would say, while unlikely, it's still there. It's still there for them, but most likely not going to play for a college football playoff. That's totally fine, though. You guys have heard my stance on this on a lot of these shows. I kind of don't like how a lot of our conversations are just so centric around the college football playoff, and so that's why I want to say we should be appreciating Baylor before I even get to Oklahoma, and let's do that now. But props to Baylor, because it's crazy to think that they're there. So Oklahoma's path to victory, to the college football playoff, it's, you know, I know they've got two teams between them and Oklahoma State, but honestly, like, it's the same. Their path and Oklahoma State's path are similar. OU, with a win this weekend, will be in excellent position. And also, they'll probably flip with Oklahoma, right? You'd think Michigan, if they lose, right, they're going to drop as well. So Oklahoma would be in a situation, okay, where if they were to win, they probably have themselves in the top six heading into championship weekend, right? Top seven, at least, heading into championship weekend. They get a second crack at what's going to be a top 12, I'd think, still team, unless they roll Oklahoma State, but a top 12 team in Oklahoma State, most likely. They get a second crack in championship weekend. And we know that, obviously, ahead of them, they'll probably have one-loss teams such as Alabama, such as Georgia, but that will sort itself out, right? The Cincinnati factor, you know, will be there. Notre Dame will be done playing games, right? So you've got Georgia and Alabama. One of those teams will, there's me making fun of Gary Barta. One of those teams, Georgia and Alabama, will knock themselves out. Let's just say Oklahoma is six in this situation. So see ya, they move up to five. Notre Dame's not playing anymore. If they get a second win against Oklahoma State, see ya, Notre Dame. See ya. There's no chance you could have Notre Dame just sit there and Oklahoma would not jump them. Now, I know some people think that's true, but I'm taking 12-1 Oklahoma over Notre Dame all day long. And look, I'm not the biggest Oklahoma guy. I mean, if you guys listen to this podcast, I'm not Boomer Sooner from me, right? I do wear the Oklahoma State shirt because, you know, we're supporting current Big 12 teams. Oklahoma is leaving the conference. I understand why. I'm not going to beat that dead horse, But let's acknowledge this, that a one-loss Big 12 champion, Oklahoma, is still going to be in great position, because if they win this week, they're going to jump Baylor, right? Baylor, if they get a win against Texas Tech, they'll be in fine position. But if Oklahoma wins, there's nothing Baylor can do. They'll be stuck there, so they're getting jumped. Ole Miss getting jumped as well. They'll have the Egg Bowl this week. It'll be a nice win. But in the end, they don't have a championship game either. And also, Oklahoma is only going to have that one loss if they were to win this weekend. They still have that one loss to Baylor, so they would jump. Once again, as I said before, Notre Dame not playing. So I think in the future they get jumped. Michigan, Ohio State, one of them, see ya. And then eventually Alabama or Georgia, one of them, see ya also. And then obviously Cincinnati's got their big game against Houston. People keep seeming to think that Cincinnati's going to lose at some point. I'm not there. I don't think I've seen anything yet that tells me they're going to drop a game just yet. And they found their form last week. Also, other teams that we have to note here. From the future Big 12 category. All right, BYU still at 13. Awesome season for Kalani Sitake. They've been chilling in that range for most of the season, and some of their losses are keeping them moving up, but Kalani Sitake's in a great job with that team. Also, it'll be interesting to see BYU play Utah now. I'd love to see that Utah up to 19 in these rankings now. Houston 24, a really impressive 10-1 outfit for Dana Holgorsen. We've had some conversations about that team, but I think it's important to note how well they've done, and their climb continues. So there are some teams that are joining the Big 12 Conference that are up in the playoff ranking. Always fun to have some of these conversations. All right, let's talk about some coaching news, but first, one more word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by our friends from betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag today. You guys can sign up. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, Locked On. You'll get a 50% deposit bonus upon your first deposit. So if you put $100 in, we'll give you an extra 50 to play with today at betonline.ag. Formula One, boxing, college football, college basketball, pro football, NBA, NHL, Vegas casino games, whatever you want to get in on the action on, they've got there at BetOnline. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Also, today's show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Just got a box of these this weekend. They just sent us some. Very excited. Going to go light on the pie, friends, because it's got like 300, 400 calories. Going to go heavy on the Built Bars. They've got coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut, almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, cherry bar, chia. Right now, go to Built.com. That's Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, 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 and you'll get 15% off today at Built.com. All right, so a piece of coaching news that we have to get to. James Franklin has agreed to a 10-year contract extension to remain as Penn State's head football coach the 2031 season. I'm reading here from Tom Van Herren at ESPN. under the new contract, $7.5 million base salary, supplementary pay, and annual retention bonus will be there as well. You'll also receive an annual loan of $1 million for a life insurance policy through the entirety of the contract. You have built-in incentives throughout the to add additional income, including $350,000 to win the Big Ten championship game, $400,000 for making the college football playoff, and $800,000 for winning a national championship. So the buyout will start at $12 million. Will reduce to $8 million, and then it kind of keeps getting smaller as time goes along. But so it's kind of an interesting way. It's here's what it says: the buyout starts $12 million on April 1, 2022. It will reduce to $8 million December 31st, 2022. $6 million in 2023, $2 million in 2024, and in 2025 and beyond, it'll be, I think, $1 million from 2026 to 2030. So not an impossible contract to buy him out of, but it's going to be expensive, at least for the first couple of years, trying to get James Franklin away from Penn State. Look, he, earlier in the year, it sounded like he was a guy who might be out the door. It seemed like his focus wasn't really there before the Ohio State game. Actually, ended up looking pretty decent in that game. And also, you know, this move is going to have a ripple effect, because I thought a future Big 12 coach, potentially Luke Fickell, would have been in the running for Penn State job, and as would current Big 12 coach Matt Campbell. I thought both of those guys would be in the running. Obviously, both Midwestern guys. Penn State, I know it's in Pennsylvania, which is an eastern, you know, considered eastern state, but the area Penn State is in is more Ohio than it really is, you know, Philadelphia, right, or eastern PA, right? So it's more Midwestern, and those two guys both make a lot of sense. I've had a lot of success in the Midwestern area. Obviously, Luke Fickell, ton of success in the state of Ohio, deep ties there. He would have been my first call if I was Penn State, but they don't have to make that call. So questions continue to swirl. What other schools will look at those guys? But as far as this job potentially becoming open for James Franklin leaving for USC, that is not looking like it's going to happen right now. So obviously never say never. Weird things have happened, but they locked him up. He's not going anywhere. So that's kind of, you know, where we're at on that situation. Obviously, tracking all the other coaching situations. I had a video yesterday about the coaches most likely to potentially, you know, move on in the Big 12 conference. You can go check that out yesterday. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LO Big 12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. Till next time, my friends, as always, stay safe.